Life in the Octagon. I like MMA. I don't know how many of you watch it or like it. The Ultimate Fighting, the ring, the Octagon. To me, that's exciting. I enjoy that. I enjoy boxing. I enjoy watching martial arts. But MMA to me is phenomenal. When you're in that ring, it's just you and that opponent, and it's a test of will and strength. I love it. But you know what? It represents something in all of our lives. And it's the battles we have to fight. We all have to fight battles. We live life in an octagon. We constantly have to face fears. We constantly have to face problems. We constantly have to face situations in our lives that are difficult. We lose a loved one. We battle with our health. We battle with finances. We battle with, you know, stresses of life and jobs. We battle with school and people in school and friends. And we battle with, you know, just the demands on our life. There are just so many fronts that we are constantly fighting a battle in. And so I wanted to take the idea of the octagon and ultimate fighting and bring an idea, a message to us about how important it is when we are in this fight together. How important it is that we are in this fight together, that all of us are on the same team, and that we're looking out for each other. That's where I find that this is an amazing opportunity. The octagon is a hard place to be in. And the Bible talks about how we are in a spiritual octagon. It says it in 2 Corinthians. Listen to these verses, because it really, I think, highlights how powerful it is to be stuck in these situations. Paul is talking about being in the octagon, and Paul says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. He says, we are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. That's terminology of being in the octagon. That's terminology of being in a battle. That's a terminology about just, you know what, facing the difficulties that life has for us and heading it head on. And Paul is telling you, look, it's not easy. The language he's using is very clear. This is not easy for us. We have to fight these things that we don't want to. I don't know about you, but most people don't like to fight. I don't like to fight. I avoid problems at all costs. I try not to have confrontations. I try to avoid any situation in which things are going to get ugly because I don't enjoy it. And so I think we all shy away from problems, and we all shy away from difficulties, and we all shy away from stuff but there's just some things we can't get away from. There's just some things we cannot get away from. Life puts us in these situations. So I want us to focus today on a specific battle that was fought between the Philistines and Israel, using the idea of UFC. A specific fight that took place between the Philistines and Israel, 975 before Christ. Because I think we can pick up so much about what's happening in this situation. Let me give you a little bit of background. When things get tough in the octagon, it's great to have friends on your team. And here's what I want you to take with you today. God put us together for a purpose. God put us together for a purpose. God put us together for a purpose. And the purpose that God put us together for is so that we could be there for each other. So that we can be there for each other in moments of need. We are not alone. We are part of a body, part of a church, part of a family, part of a community. And when we do church the way the Word of God says we should do church, when we do church the way God's Word demands, we are a team. We are all playing for each other. We're all working for each other. We're all looking out for each other. We're all fighting for each other and getting each other's back. So that's what I want us to take with us today as we go through this. Let me give you a little bit of events leading up to this battle that we're going to look at. First of all, David defeats Team Philistine's Goliath, the giant. We know that. We read the story. Everybody knows the story of David and Goliath. The battle between Israel and the Philistines is a long, old battle. David already has had a tremendous victory in his youth over their champion. He faced their champion and destroyed him. We know that. We know that story. Okay? Now, David has since experienced many victories after that. David fought many battles. As a matter of fact, they even had a song for David. You know, when he would come into Jerusalem, they would say that Saul had killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. This guy was a seasoned veteran of the octagon. This guy fought constantly, and God would always give him the victory. This guy was a tremendous warrior in a literal sense. David assembled also the best team ever up until that time. And I love this passage, and sometimes I've spoken about it, but when you think about the team that David put together, that God brought to David to work with him, these were the cream of the crop, man. These were the cream of the crop. You look at it in 1 Samuel 22. In 1 Samuel 22, it says that then the others began coming. Who were the men that God brought to David so David could train them and work with them? It says they were men who were in trouble or in debt, who were just discontented, until David was the captain of about 400 men. So all these guys that were in trouble and had to flee their cities would come to David. All of these guys that had gotten in trouble for stealing or for fighting or for drunkenness or for many other problems, the people society did not want around them, guess what? David got them. He got a group of people that was a rough, rough group of people. But those are the people God gave him to work with. And he trained them and he worked with them. And they became so loyal to David that later on in David's life, those men were willing to die for David. They were willing to give their life for him. They had his back. They were a solid team. These guys, David took them in when nobody else would. David loved them and cared for them and showed them respect that nobody else gave them. And David showed them what it was like to be a man of God, because David was a man of God. And so his love and his encouragement and his training of these men, these men became one with David, a team. And that's important for us to understand, because when things get rough, the people you're surrounded with, the people you are friends with, the people you build the bonds with, they're the ones that are going to stand up for you. They're the ones that are going to go to battle for you. They're the ones that are going to do whatever it takes. So, fight night comes up. Now, I want you to open your Bibles. I want us to look at this fight together. 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21, fight night. The time comes and they're going to have a battle. Another battle. Between old enemies, the Philistines and the people of Israel. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Segunda de Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21. We're going to start with verse 15. 2 Samuel 21:15. Here's where it says, once again the Philistines were at war with Israel. And when David and his men were in the thick of battle, David became weak and exhausted. Ishbi Benob was a descendant of the giant. His bronze spearhead weighed more than 7 pounds, and he was armed with a new sword. He had cornered David and was about to kill him. Verse 17. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue and killed the Philistine. Then David's men declared, "You are not going out to battle with us again. Why risk snuffing out the light of Israel?" I want you to look at that battle for a minute. I want you to think about what just happened. David, the champion, David, the guy who's beaten Goliath and won so many other battles, here they are again fighting with the Philistines. You know what's really tiring is when you have to fight the same battles over and over and over again. It's like you want to be done with something, and then it just comes back, and it comes back, and it comes back. That's horrible. And so David is done with the Philistine. How many times do you have to defeat these people? And guess what? They're back again for more. And every time they come back stronger, they come back more armed. This guy that David was fighting hand-to-hand with was one of the giants. We know David was not very tall. This guy was probably twice David's size. This guy's spear, the head of his spear, the arrow, weighed 7 pounds. That's crazy. Because if that weighed 7 pounds, how much did the rest of the spear weigh? How strong do you have to be to throw a spear where the head weighs 7 pounds? You're talking about these guys were huge and their weapons were huge. And you know what? It gets old. It gets old when you have to constantly be fighting these giants over and over again. And I want to highlight some stuff that happened. First of all, even David gets tired. Even David got tired. Look at it. When David and his men were in the thick of the battle, David became weak and exhausted. You know what? We're human. We're not machines. I don't know if any of you are machines, but I think most of us are human. And when you're human, you get tired. You know what? You may be really strong for this battle and very strong for that, but there's going to come a point where you're going to be weak. And you're going to get tired. And you're going to be exhausted. We're not machines. There's only so much we can take before we just collapse in exhaustion, in weakness, and being tired. That's human nature. None of us has the endurance to fight this eternal battle. We don't. We can go at it for a few rounds, but sooner or later, you know what? We're going to get tired. That is human nature. So when you feel tired and exhausted, don't feel bad about that. That's normal. That's human. When you're just tired of struggling with one thing or struggling with another or struggling with a person or struggling with a group of people, when you get, you know what? It's okay. It's normal to get tired. We're human. We're not superhuman. We're not machines. And you know what is even more? The most tiring battles we fight are the emotional battles. When we have emotional battles, man, those are really, really tiring. It's far more tiring than running and doing exercise because your heart and your mind just pours into a problem and it drains you of all energy. It drains you. What is depression? If it's not at least in part, depression happens when we just get tired of fighting. When we are emotionally exhausted, we become depressed. We become discouraged because we figure, you know, what's the point? I can't win this battle. It's just constant. I may as well just give up. That's where we are sometimes in our lives. We got to be realistic about it. We got to admit it. We got to understand that that's what happens. We're not machines. We're humans. And humans run out of gas. And humans grow tired in battle. And humans become vulnerable. You know what? When we're tired and weak, we're vulnerable. When we're tired and weak, we are vulnerable. That means that when we're tired and weak, we are easy for the enemy to attack. And you know what? That's when the enemy launches the strongest attacks on us. When we're weak. When you're strong and you're ready to go and everything is good, the enemy thinks twice before he fights with you. But when you're weak and tired and exhausted, that's when he comes down with everything he's got. Because his whole purpose is to destroy us. He's not playing games. He wants to destroy our lives. And so this is very human. David gets tired. Now the enemy likes to attack and take advantage when we're weak. Look what happened. This giant guy, Ishbi-Benob, was a descendant of the giants. His bronze spear was so heavy. He cornered David and was about to kill him. He says, oh, David is tired and weak, huh? Remember all the giants you've killed? Remember Goliath? Now I'm going to take advantage of you. Now I'm going to kill you. Now I'm going to take vengeance. And he was motivated by vengeance. He was motivated by his desire to just destroy completely David, this warrior. You know what an honor it would be for the Philistines for this guy to kill David? He would be the national hero. He would be it because he killed the greatest enemy that the Philistines have. And so this is what is happening. This guy is ready to pounce on David. David was too tired to continue fighting. And David was too weak to defend himself. What would have happened if David would have been alone? What would have happened if David would have been alone in that battle? That would have been it. We would be reading about how David was killed by Ishbi-Benob. When we're alone in a battle, sooner or later, it's overwhelming. The good thing is David wasn't alone. And that's what we need to understand. We're not alone either. Not only is God with us, but we have each other. Not only is God with us, but we have each other. We have each other to support. We have each other to fight for. We have each other to step in and help when things get bad. David had a friend on his team. And this guy was, what was he doing? They were all fighting. But you imagine this guy had his eye on David. He's fighting, but he's keeping an eye on the boss. He's keeping an eye on his friend. He's making sure that David is okay. He's taking care of his business, but he's watching for David. Because very easily David could have been killed because everybody has to handle their own problems. And you know what? We live in this life and sometimes We say to ourselves, you know what? I got enough problems. I can't help anybody. I have to deal with my own problems. I'm overwhelmed with my own problems. But the truth of the matter is that we need to be looking out for each other. We need to be looking out for everybody else. We need to be worried about other people. Yes, we have to fight our battles, but we have to keep an eye on everybody, on each other. Abishai, but Abishai. Thank God for Abishai. Thank God that there was somebody worried. He came to David's rescue and he killed the Philistine. Not only was he a valiant, courageous warrior, but he was looking out for David. Then David's men declared to him, David, we're not taking you anymore out to battle, man. Today you've shown us that you are tired, that you're weary, that it's dangerous for you to go to battle. So today we're going to, you know, this is it. We're done. You're not going to battle anymore. You know, it's that protection. It's that, you know what, we are looking out for you, and you are not into be in these fights anymore. You've fought enough battles. Now it's our turn to fight for you. Abishai was willing to risk his life. Beating this giant was not easy. It's not like Abishai just came and flicked the guy and the guy's gone. Abishai came to fight somebody who could have killed him. They both could have died that day. But he was willing to risk his life. He was willing to lay his life down for his friend. David's problem was Abishai's problem. Think about that. My problem ought to be your problem. Your problem ought to be my problem. When we're a team, when we're working together, when we're fighting together, when we're in this battle together, we need to be there for each other. And that's bottom line. That's, you know what? Abishai could have said, hey, David, I'm sorry, man. Figure it out because I got to take care of my own problems. No, David. I'm going to put my problems aside and I'm going to go help you. And I'm going to risk my life to do it. What does the Bible say about that? The Bible says that there is no greater love than this, than someone is willing to lay their life down for their friends. That's the bottom line. And this guy was willing to do it for David. Abishai did not criticize David. He understood. Notice that he didn't come to David and say, look what you got yourself into. Are you some kind of idiot or something? Why would you come to a battle if you're tired? Why did you stay home? Look at the problem you've created. Because see, that's another human characteristic. Sometimes instead of being there for our friends, we're there to criticize our friends. We're there to attack our friends. We're there to, instead of helping them, we just pounce on them. And you see none of this with Abishai. He comes and he kills the guy and he says, David, man, we got to take better care of you. We don't want you. You're the king. You're the leader. We don't want you doing this anymore. Because your life is in danger when you do this. David was not the only giant slayer. Here's something that's really interesting in case you haven't seen this. In that chapter, it lists a bunch of these guys that were Jewish people from the Jewish army that had slayed giants. It wasn't just David. David killed Goliath. Abishai just killed Ishbi-Benob, another giant. You know, Sibekai killed a giant named Saph. He was also a giant slayer. In verse 19, Elhanah killed the brother of Goliath. He was also a giant slayer. Jonathan, David's nephew, not Saul's son. Jonathan, David's nephew, killed a giant that was known for having six fingers in each hand and six toes in each foot. And he was also a giant slayer, Jonathan. Look at all the guys on David's team that had fought giants and beat them. Well, what's in that for us? What do we understand by this? We can all be giant slayers. We can all be defeating giants. There's no giant that can defeat God's team. None. These four Philistines were descendants of the giants of Gath, but David and his warriors killed them. That was verse 22. Four giants, descendants of the giants of Gath, but David's warriors killed them. How would you like to enter the octagon knowing these men were on your team? How would you like to go into battle knowing that these guys, these giant slayers, they got your back? They're on your team. They're fighting for you. They got you. They're watching out for you. They're not going to let anything happen. That would make you feel a lot better. I know it would make me feel a lot better. I know that if I was walking into a literal octagon with one of these MMA guys, I would feel a lot better if I had Brock Lesnar and I had a few of other guys there on my side. They were there to fight for me and with me and protect me. Because otherwise, I'm going to get slaughtered. These guys were a team. God has put us together for a reason. We are each other's team. We're fighting for each other. And you know what? Just like this passage says, you know, these guys, in Christ, we are all giant slayers. There is no giant that can overcome you. You are in Christ. You can do all things. And you know what? If you get weak and you're having a problem with your giant, I'm going to come over and I'm going to help you slay him. And if I get weak and tired, I hope you come and help me slay the giant. That's what the teamwork is about. That's what this whole, what I want you to take with you. When things get tough in the octagon, it's great to have friends on your team. God puts us together for a purpose. We have to live in the octagon. We have to live in a situation where we're living in a world where we face battles. We're living in a world where we have to struggle. We're living in a world where things are hard. But you know what? My commitment to every one of you is that I'm here for you. My commitment for every one of you is, look, I'm fighting battles every day, my own battles. But I care enough about you that I'll fight with you and for you if I see that you need it. Hopefully you'll ask for help, but if you don't, I should be noticing when you need it. I don't think David called out for Abishai. I think David was in there to fight this guy to the death. But I think Abishai saw him and said, know what? He needs help. Let me help him. You know, just in these past few days, you know, we've gone through different things as a church. You know, different people have gotten sick. Different people have passed away. Different people. And the one thing you notice about all of it is how we come together as a team. We come together as a family. We're there for each other. The support we have is tremendous. You know, we care about each other. Listen, that is invaluable because we live in a world where nobody cares about anybody. We live in a world where everybody's on their own. We live in a world where everybody's looking out for themselves. And if you're in trouble, I'm sorry, figure it out because I don't have time to help you. But that's what makes us different. That's what makes church different. Anybody that walks in through those doors should feel that. Anybody that walks in through those doors should feel, you know what, this is a family. These people are a team. These people are together for a purpose. And nothing, I mean, if you mess with one person, you're messing with everybody. And if somebody has an issue, we are all there. We are all there. Let's be that team. Let's work with each other. Let's worry about each other. Let's pray for each other. Do you pray for everybody that's here? Think about that. Don't answer that question. Just think about it. How many people here do you pray for? You should be praying for everybody here. Oh, but I don't know their name. Well, figure it out. Ask them what their name is. Write it down somewhere. Pray for them. Well, I don't even know what to pray for. Well, good, good, good. Ask them. Is there anything I can pray for you? Is there anything that you're going through, any struggle, anything I can be there for you? We need to build that. We need to build that. We need to build that. Let's stand up tonight.